At Avocado, we know that not all mattresses are created equal. While other beds trap heat, ours sets it free. Made without polyurethane foams and crafted with natural latex, cotton, and wool. Breathable, comfortable, and supportive. No overheating, just clean, organic sleep that performs. Save 15% on our award-winning mattresses this July 4th sale. Avocado, celebrate organic. Shop at avocadomattress.com or leading retailers nationwide.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, last month, you would have heard that American medical technology company Stryker, which has a headquarters in Cork, was crippled by a cyber attack from an Iranian-backed group. The company says its global manufacturing network is now fully operational, but it had to deal with disruption for almost a month. So just how vulnerable are we to further attacks if the war continues? Richard Brown is the director of the National Cyber Security Centre. He joins us now. Richard, thanks indeed for talking to us. Is there a greater risk now, do you think?
There is, but I think it's important to keep in mind there's actually two separate types of incidents in play here. The first one is what we saw in Stryker, whereby a global company was attacked, likely in the US, which had, you know, implications in a number of countries, including in Ireland. The other issue, which is obviously more pressing for us, is direct attacks on issues here, or companies, government departments, agencies, entities. That's less likely. So, I mean, it's not true to say it is impossible, but it is unlikely it will be directly targeted by these same actors.
Less likely because we're not involved in the war in Iran. Is that right?
Potentially, but also because we're simply smaller and we're less likely to gather attention. I think it's really important to point out that in many ways, the immediate victim is not the actual target of these attacks. The company involved, while they're, you know, were directly targeted, they're not the ones that the entity is trying to affect. The group responsible for this were almost certainly trying to affect the media. You're the target, bluntly, rather than the company themselves. They want to create a degree of fear. They want to create the impression that the US is somehow vulnerable. And that's why they conduct these types of attacks. They're not necessarily trying to destroy the company, although, you know, having an economic impact is obviously part of the rationale. It's really to change the media reporting around the larger geopolitical situation. They're trying to create the impression that the US itself is vulnerable and that Iran or whoever may be more powerful than initially proposed or supposed.
So let's deal with the facts then, as opposed to the fear. How vulnerable are we?
So that's a question with a very, very long answer. I think if you look, late last year, we published a national cyber risk assessment, our second such assessment, which called out not just, if you like, the most common types of attacks that we see here. We are the National Cyber Incident Response Authority. We deal with these issues on an ongoing and daily basis. But it also looks forward at, if you like, the likely future developments. And in fact, since it was published, some of these things have already come to pass. So any connected society like ours is to a degree vulnerable to these kinds of cyber-enabled attacks. It's just a fact of life. There's a lot of things that we can do and in fact have done to mitigate the most common, most likely, most damaging attacks. But there are always risks. Some of these risks are just geopolitical. Some of these risks are related to the technology we use. But some of them, and in fact, the more difficult ones, are related to technological developments, things that are happening at the forefront, the bleeding edge of technology, that are more difficult for companies, government departments, entities to deal with on an ongoing basis.
Now, you mentioned, and I got the point you were making, that, you know, we're smaller, we're not as high profile as other countries, but we will be more high profile this year when Ireland assumes the EU presidency. Is there a danger that we will become a target then, you know, because of the knock-on impacts it could have, as given our role as president of the EU for the 6 months?
Potentially, yes. But again, I wouldn't overstate it. And particularly, I wouldn't overstate the effect of that. Again, most of the incidents that we've seen in other European jurisdictions, when they've held a presidency of the European Council or other similar roles, if hosting summits or whatever it might be, have been hacktivist type attacks. In other words, they're politically motivated, non-destructive or very limited in their destructive effect type attacks. That's the type of thing we see, and we expect that to happen. We've had it here already. We had it here on the day of the European elections 2 years ago when we had these ongoing hacktivist type incidents. So that's frankly just a fact of life, and we can deal with it. What would be much more damaging is a kinetic attack, an attack that broke something important, that took down an important service, that affected the functioning of government, the delivery of services for the presidency itself, or something else. And many of those types of issues are heavily mitigated by the measures that are already in place. So it's possible, but the risk of it happening, thankfully, is relatively low. Now, there's an important kind of coda to that that people should be aware of. In Europe, over the last number of years, we haven't seen that many large-scale kinetic attacks on critical infrastructure. It hasn't been a fact of life because, quite frankly, the Russians, who were behind many of these in Europe historically, have been busy elsewhere in Ukraine. In the last couple of months, we've seen a number of significant kinetic cyber attacks where, you know, a concerted, coherent attempt was made to disrupt or destroy critical infrastructure. One of those, the most significant of those, was in Poland in December, where a large number, nearly 30, different pieces of energy infrastructure were targeted by an actor group that many of the commercial companies involved point to being of Russian origin. And that's a very significant change. And if that marks an upsurge in concerted Russian origin attempts to take down critical infrastructure, that would be different. But again, that was December and we haven't seen anything very significant since.
Okay, one to watch. Last couple of questions. Cyber espionage. Explain exactly what that is and how it's different and what the risk is there.
Cyber espionage is very simply the stealing of information by cyber means. It's something we see on an ongoing basis. It's a fact of life. Cyber espionage is at least 30 years old and in reality probably more. We've evidence going back that far in Ireland. So that's just the world we live in. But for most companies, and frankly, for most people who deal with these kinds of issues, the most pressing issue is still ransomware. It's criminal of origin. It's just trying to extort money from you, from locking your data. That's the most pressing issue for SMEs, for individuals, and for companies of large of a range of different sizes. Ransomware is the biggest and most pressing risk.
So finally, Richard, I mean, there'll be a lot of business people listening to this interview. Are there things smaller businesses should be doing, or is it something that really only larger sized businesses need to be concerned about?
There absolutely are lots of things that businesses of every scale should be doing. The first and most simple things, by the way, and it's the same no matter whether you're talking about a private individual, an SME, or a very large business. If you have multiple factor authentication enabled properly, if you've long, strong, and coherent password policies, you've already made a huge step towards making any organization secure. Those are the basics for everybody. For SMEs in particular, we have a series of things coming in the very short term for SMEs, including a new website and what we call an SME core. So that's one to watch for the future. But if you just go to our website and just look at the guidance and advice we have there for companies of every scale to better prepare themselves. Lots of SMEs have limited IT and therefore they've limited risk. But lots of SMEs are still reliant on IT to deliver their services. And they are vulnerable because a simple attack could take them down, could destroy their business. That makes them particularly vulnerable.
Okay. Sorry, I know I said that was the last question, but something else just occurs to me. I'm curious about yourself and your team. Are you constantly having to update yourselves to keep one step ahead of what's going on? Is it an ever-changing landscape?
Yes, it absolutely is. I mean, it's always been like that, but I think it's really important for everybody to understand the risk picture is changing very dramatically. And our risk assessment from December calls this out in a fairly strident way. We're seeing a declining geopolitical environment, not just because of what's happening in the Middle East or what's happening in the Gulf, but also what's happening across Europe and elsewhere. The world is changing, and it's changing in a number of particularly difficult and very dramatic ways. The second thing we're seeing is a really complex supply chain environment. We have these dependencies, like speaking from a national perspective, that are global in nature. Stryker is a global company which had, you know, an incident in the US which had implications for thousands of people working in Ireland, in Cork and elsewhere. So that's another issue. But most pressing of all is technological change. We're seeing dramatic changes in AI, the use of artificial intelligence in every facet of human life, but particularly in cybersecurity. The threat actors are using it. The bad guys are using it. I mentioned an attack in Poland last year. In that incident, there was widespread use of AI by the threat actor, the bad guys. They're using this. And so are people like us. One of the most pressing issues we have as an NCSC looking forward is how we use AI, because we know we'll have to better protect ourselves and to better protect every single entity in the state.
Okay, absolutely fascinating. Thank you indeed for talking to us. Richard Brown, Director of the National Cyber Security Centre. Thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder this evening.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.